Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guest is Master Certified Coach Bob Conlon, the author of Why My Relationships Suck, How to Create Strong Relationships with Courage and Heart. In our conversation, Bob shares some of the lessons forged through previous chapters in relationships and the way purpose and intention show up in his relationship work with individuals, couples, and groups. This June, Bob will be co-leading the Alchemy of Men retreat in Fairview, Utah, for those looking to build lasting community, overcome challenges, lean into your biggest goals, and discover your untapped potential. Check out the link in the show notes to learn more about this all-inclusive experience. So, hey, Bob, thank you so much for connecting with me today. And it's our first time speaking with each other, but I have been able to kind of view your voice and your work from afar. And also most recently, I was able to pick up your book. So thank you for agreeing to speak with me.
Nice, man. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah.
And thanks for buying the book. That's awesome.
Yes, that's always good. Always helpful.
Yeah.
Want to keep it real. And real quickly, you're the author of Why My Relationships Suck, Create Strong Relationships with Courage and Heart. You know, maybe this will be the perfect starting point. And before I give you my experience of reading the book, which I loved, I just want to ask you, what made you decide to write this book? And what was your experience putting all of that on paper, both the personal development stuff and then like really authentic, vulnerable stuff about your own experience?
Yeah, sure. So the book came out of me essentially based on some of the personal work, as you kind of alluded to, that I had been exploring through my own personal development. I was in a year-long rigorous coach and leadership training program. And it was in that program where I really learned that some of my biggest issues stemmed from who I was being essentially in relationship. And, you know, I was committed to creating a relationship, but I just didn't understand how. You know, I was just out of another failed relationship. And and by no coincidence, the month that I met my now current wife, that month we were focusing on relationships specifically in the program. So we had this you know, weekend long training about what it actually means to be in relationship. How do we create relationship intentionally? What am I being and not being responsible for? And it was the first time in my life where I understood what the common denominator in all my relationships was, and it was me, right? So wouldn't it be smart to look at myself, like really essentially the first time at like 42 years old, look at myself and what I could start getting responsible for and how relationships had played out for me. And that next weekend I met my future wife. So, it was kind of magical and kind of made all sense at the same time. But the book really stemmed from, you know, I'm still doing the work, right? like I think yeah. you know yeah. The work never ends, but the book came out of an idea of like, man, I spent over 40 years essentially of my life trying to create relationships, and I had no guide, I had no instructions, I had no idea how to do it. And it created a lot of pain and a lot of discontentment. It created just a lot of, in my mind, like unnecessary challenges. So I wanted to just authentically share my experience with the aim of just helping, right? Essentially just helping and giving others maybe some tools or maybe give them the invitation to look inward and look at themselves first before they go ahead and bring another person into the mix, essentially.
So, that's a solution, huh?
Yeah. So that was kind of where the book was born from. And then, you know, sharing so freely about my experience and, you know, some of the experiences of my clients, it was cathartic. It was challenging. It was hard. You know, it was hard to kind of tap back into that man that created so much kind of destruction and devastation, not only in his relationships, but in his life. And and tell that story, you know, but like knowing that, man, if this helps one person or if this gives one person one tool to have relationships go in a way that they're actually committed to, it's going to be worth it. And it took me like 4 years just to finally get it out. And, you know, if I look back at all the time that I spent into this project, it was probably written in 3 to 6 months, hands down. And all that other time was me fighting it, wrestling with it, you know, getting impacted negatively by it, like whatever it was, like, cause like,
yeah,
you know, as you know, if you read, like there's some pretty gut wrenching stuff in there. And, you know, I had to face kind of those demons again. I had to face that version of me that I have spent so much growing from.
I just want to share, you know, my experience reading it was, wow, there's a lot for people, especially maybe as an entryway into, you know, what we call personal development.
Yep.
There's a lot of tools, research, science, and ways for people to practice on their own to start to examine themselves or patterns, what it is they need. But it's a little more beyond that. You also share deeply intimate experiences and not just about describing what happened or what you thought about what happened, but also what it felt like for you to go through that experience, which is so deeply vulnerable to me.
Yeah.
And it's right alongside, here are some of the ways that you might want to work with a coach. Here's where, you know, this is not for coaching, you know?
Yep.
And it was such a, maybe it was a very holistic experience to take that in. So thank you for bringing that into the world. Since this, you know, your work is so much about relationships, I'm curious, growing up, who taught you the most about love to you and relationships?
Ooh, God. Man, that's a question.
No pressure.
Yeah. You know, it's a tricky question for me because I learned so much about love. I mean, essentially from like how I didn't receive it, right? Like my physical needs were mostly met. But when I think about like what love is, like the nurturing, the curiosity, the guidance, the softness, right? Like I didn't experience a lot of that, certainly growing up. And, you know, that really had me kind of seeking some type of love externally because through that process, I didn't learn how to love myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that set, and particularly men, I think that sets us up for a lot of external validation and external achievement as a way of means to making sense of something, making sense of who we are or how we want to give or receive love or whatever. And not that that's totally a bad thing, but it's missing a big key component, which is, you know, understanding truly how I love myself or what it means to feel, you know, feel loved. And, you know, I think, you know, I feel back to my very first relationship, which is the relationship I have with my mother. I mean, that's everyone's very first relationship. If you were born as a human being on this planet.
Yeah.
And I love my mother and we've done a lot of work in our relationship and, you know, we've come a long, long way. And, you know, I think we've gone through every experience of you can like inside of a relationship between mother and son. And, you know, she taught me like tough love and, you know, she taught me like how to get stuff done. Right. Like she taught me like how to be a survivor. Right. And I love her so much for that. But when I think about, you know, where I learned how to start to thrive in relationship and really started to understand what my needs are and understand what I actually wanted, you know, that came much later. And I think that, man, the first word that's coming up to me, like who really taught me about love was like spirit, or God or the universe, whatever you want to call it. And that relationship didn't start until I got sober in like 2000, started kind of in 2007. And that was like the first time where, you know, I got to just like understand more so like who I am as a man, what I actually want and what's in the way. And for me, what had been in the way my whole life was this external drive to feel anything than what I was feeling on the inside. And for me, like a lot that led down to my drug and alcohol use. And it wasn't until that was completely removed that I was kind of like bankrupt in the sense of like, I didn't know where to turn. And that's when like the loving hand of spirit came in and like started to guide me and show me what it means to love myself and to love others powerfully and in a way that matters. And that was basically expressed through being of service. like in the recovery communities, there's a big emphasis on being of service,
yeah,
as a way to get out of yourself, right? To help someone else. And you know, so it's such a great question. Just the first I've been asked it, and I think it's coming off the cuff. You know, I really think it's been my relationship to spirit, which has taught me the most about love.
Thank you for sharing that and just sharing some of the lows where you had to start from like ground level, right?
Yep.
Which in some ways is a gift because we spend so much of the time not wanting to be there. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And in your writing, you describe yourself, and I think even your wife, Shauna, describes you as first impression as a rocker guy.
Yeah.
As a rocker guy with tattoos and who likes motorcycles, perhaps. And then here you are writing about heartbreak, writing about what it felt like for you, not just your thoughts, which is, it's much easier for, sometimes hard for men to get there, right? The emotionality of it.
100%.
So maybe as a fun question, because I know you play a little bit of guitar and everything. What has been your go-to heartbreak song on your playlist?
Go-to heartbreak song, man, there's so many. I'm trying to think of like what was on rotation with my last big heartbreak, which was like with a woman I'd been in a relationship with like 7 years. And like in hindsight, we were loving each other the best way we knew how, you know, but like it was clear we weren't like committed to a bigger picture in our relationship. But you know, we both fulfilled a very specific need for each other, but we weren't each other's people. And man, I feel like some of my heavy metal cred's gonna get taken away from this, but it was I think Third Eye Blind, How's It Gonna Be? How's It Gonna Be? Yeah. I think it's Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
But man, I listened to that song like on rotation. And then there's one, I think it's called Us by She Wants Revenge, which I'll take a little more credit for that one. And then Thoughtless by Korn. Those are probably like the three that I just like jammed incessantly during my last, you know, my last last heartbreak for sure.
Were you like in a band growing up or something like that?
Yeah. I still am. Still am in a band. I started playing bass guitar when I was 13 years old. I had been interested in playing guitar since I was like 10 or 11 when I was really starting to get into music, because like music was such like an escape for me.
Yeah.
And it was just such a comforting thing for me. And then the first time I ever saw a bass guitar was like in a guitar magazine, and I was like, what is that thing? Because it looks very different than a regular six string guitar.
Yes.
It's like meatier, just it's bigger. And I was like, ooh, what is that thing? And one of the like local neighborhood kids who would play guitar, he's like, that's a bass. I'm like, I want to play that. And then I started listening for bass and music and stuff. And then, you know, by the time I was 15, I was on stage playing in, you know, roller rinks and rock and roll bars and halls, like, you know, playing, I think we were playing speed metal at that time. And I've played ever since. Like the guys I play with now were called Outburst on the 66. And, you know, I'm going to be 48 next month, and these guys are way older than me, but, you know, we get together a couple times a week and still jam and play, and it's just a fun outlet. But yeah, man, I've been like on the radio, I've been on stages all over the place, and you know, I've been playing in front of thousands of people, and it's been it's just been such a fun outlet.
You know, even your writing, I feel like this is just my interpretation, has a little bit of that vibe of someone who's had to process but found something like music or community,
yep,
and even God or universe, whatever you call it, to be able to understand some of these things that are so often illogical, right? What we go through.
Right.
And speaking of, you know, thinking about relationships and hope and faith, I know you also have had a long and illustrious career in healthcare, working in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious how that time in your life informed your perspective about healing and relationships now.
Yeah, in a big way. Like, you know, I was in my, I mean, probably like in my early 20s, you know, I was bouncing around college, and I was like super lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it was suggested for me to look into nursing. And like, it was as a man, I never thought, you know, like this is going, you know, back 20 something years ago, like it wasn't a traditional career choice for most men. So it wasn't even on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked into it and I was like, this seems like something I might be interested in. And then, halfway through my first anatomy class, I was like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Man, when I think about, so I worked on a cardiac critical care unit, like literal life or death situations every moment of every shift. And I really got to see what was really important for people, and some of the most challenging, sometimes dire, devastating experiences of their life. And, and particularly for men, when the men were in the hospital with their first, second, or third heart attack, they weren't sharing about how excited and how grateful they were for all how hard they worked and, all the money they made and how they've sacrificed everything for everyone else. Like they were talking about the people that they loved, right? The people that they might miss if they pass away. So I think it started to plant the seed about what's really important as men who focus a lot on career and providing and, working hard and being self-sufficient, that it just became apparent to me that while those are great qualities, they can't be the only ones we rely upon. Like it's great to be self-sufficient at times. It's great to work your ass off at times, but it can come at a cost. And what I started to notice was that, again, men particularly were, we die at lower, we die sooner than women do, right? We have more undiagnosed depression and anxiety than most people. And there's all these challenges that we face because we don't know how to ask for help and ask for help, particularly in relationships. So, I started to see like, hey, what's important? At the end of the day, what's most important? It's the people that we love and the people that love us, right? And then, how do we start to impact that conversation much earlier so we don't end up in the hospital bed? And I think that's what, I mean, I feel like I was guided into what I do now as a coach, but it started to have me realize that I could impact men decades before they get to that point. So if I'm working with a 30, 40-year-old, like we can start having conversations about slowing down, about connecting deeper to your most important relationships and getting really clear on what you actually want, if it's not a promotion or money, but if it's actually like deeper intimacy with your partner or more presence with your kids. Like, let's have that conversation now so it's not too late.
Well, speaking as someone who believes there's a connection between, the body and the mind and heart and spirit, you're kind of I've never thought about it this way, but yeah, you're sort of saying, what if we can intervene and support someone before the cardiac arrest as the symptom of their life? I've never thought of it that way, but
Totally. Yeah. Or to help, help men heal from, hurt and harm and trauma, right? Like, my father passed away when he was 51, and I was 7 years old at that time. And based on his upbringing and some of the stories I know about him, like I want to say he most 100%, like he died of a heart attack. Like he basically, essentially had a heart attack, but he had a heart attack because his heart was broken. He had so much like pain and hurt and unprocessed trauma and grief in his heart that that was the physical manifestation of that which was his heart disease. Now, I mean, if I had to debate that, I don't know, but like, I really believe, there's physical energetic manifestations of dis-ease in our bodies. And I think that's a big one for men because we're not talking, we're not expressing, we're not healing, we're grinding, grinding, grinding.
And something you just brought up, even, for example, at the juncture you were at when you were considering nursing, you were talking about how you were getting, reactions about why would someone like you, quote unquote, go into this industry. And similarly, I've heard you talk about, standing up for men's work and personal development for men and everything that you talk about, and that sometimes you've had backlash from other men. And so how do you navigate that? Because also you have this persona where people are like, oh, I wouldn't think you would care about relationships, which is a wild statement, to make because of this or other about you as a man. How do you navigate that contrast?
Yeah, it's like, when you look at me, you would never guess that, this is basically what I do or like what I like to focus on, right? Like as you mentioned, I am a rocker, I'm covered in tattoos, I'm a big dude, and here I go into nursing and now I'm a coach that focuses and helps men in relationships, right? Like it's it doesn't add up based on what I look like, right? But you know, when I think about, you know, it's one of the heartbreaks I think of being in this work is, you know, I talk to men every week that are just like literally grinding themselves to the bone, and they're miserable and they're unhappy, and they can't get out of their own way to make the change that I think intuitively and at their heart level they know they need to make. So it's like, yeah, man, I know it's scary, you know, like I got a flashlight if you want it, like you want to go on this journey, let's do it. And you know, I think of spending a whole life of providing for others and not putting themselves first, it's a big ask. You know, it's a big ask to like invest the time, the money, the energy that it takes to like really take yourself on and do, you know, essentially do your own work. And, you know, I think what happens in that is that, you know, when someone's confronted, you know, they have a few ways that they would typically respond to that. They'll, you know, they'll attack, they'll suffer through it, or they'll run away, they'll quit. Right. So, you know, how that shows up. Like how that shows up in like some of the guys I talk to, like who aren't with me, is they'll like, they'll demonize me or attack me, or, you know, create some story about who I am and who I'm not, or they'll just ghost, which is probably the most common. They'll just like disappear, or they'll, you know, they'll just go on like knowing things need to change and not do anything about it. And that, one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to paraphrase it, in The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, I think is how you say his name, is that when you know that there's more possibility, basically when you know that there's another way to live life and you can see this grand new horizon for yourself and you still don't act on it, it's almost more painful to know that it's possible and do nothing than to never know that it existed at all.
Right.
So I think that, you know, here they come talk to me and I'm like, you know, let's talk about your dreams. Like, you know, where do you want to be in a year from now? Like, what's the, you know, what's your career look like? What's your relationship look like? Like, how are you as a father? Like, and they get so connected to that possibility and then it's like immediately taken away. And that's painful.
Right.
You know, that can be painful if they don't take the action to work on it. And I get it, man. I'm like, I'm not the right guy for everyone, but time and time again, the folks I work with, they get the results they're committed to getting. And it kind of sucks to work on it. You know, it's hard to do that work. You know, it's hard to really take yourself on and be responsible in ways you may have never been before, but it works, you know, it works.
I can't remember. Maybe it's Brené Brown, but I'm not sure. But there's a saying that goes, you can't love someone else more than you love yourself. And I'm wondering if you believe, if that resonates with you.
Yeah.
In the modern day, I think about that quote quite a bit because it feels like the gender divide is sometimes bigger than ever. How can we connect? How can we trust each other? How can there be intimacy and safety? And part of that is sort of understanding ourselves. So this goes into your work that you do as a coach a little bit. But what are some ways that if someone is curious about working with a coach, a man in particular, what are some things that you might want to focus on when you're starting to look at working with a client?
Yeah, one, I mean, it, you know, it starts with a relationship. And, you know, I think all relationships start with trust. And it's really being able, you know, can I trust this person, you know, that they can help me, essentially, right?
Yeah.
You know, is it a good, and this might sound a little woo to some folks, but is it a good energetic exchange? And I think that's expressed in like, do I, as the coach, feel like I could help this person? Do I want to help this person? Meaning like, you know, do I want to like basically start a relationship with this person? Are they my people? You know, are they the people that I would want to spend time with, essentially?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, for them, I think it's like, hey man, do I trust this guy? Do I think he can help me? Like, am I willing to like do the work with him? Am I willing to show up and be open and honest and willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to get the results that I say I'm committed to?
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, that's a good start, is like foundationally we have to trust each other. You know, that's the place to start.
Yeah. And going into a little bit about some of your offerings, you have this retreat experience that I believe is coming up in June.
Yep.
Right? It's called The Alchemy of Men.
Yep.
You know, clearly there's a target audience, but anything that you want to talk about in addition for people who might be interested in doing a group experience like this, what can they expect from this?
Yeah, it's I mean, I was talking to a guy today and about coming into the retreat. So we have a retreat coming up in Utah that I co-lead with my good friend Alex Terranova. He's also he's an incredible coach and leader, and he's up to a lot of cool stuff. And you know, we were talking about like, I'm not here to convince you to come. I'm here to be curious with you as to like what would have you run towards it. Like, what would have you be a 10 out of 10 hell yes to an experience like this?
Right.
And you know, it's for guys who essentially know that there's some untapped potential and they might not know how to essentially get it out. And you know, I think guys are, you know, many men, we're great at being self-sufficient, which I call like the lone wolf. Like, we're great at being the lone wolf. And what this an opportunity like this provides is really an opportunity to create community, to create like essentially the wolf pack, or you know, we don't call it like that, but you know, to create a community of, you know, growth-oriented men who have, you know, different levels of facility around speaking from the heart, you know, getting connected to what really matters for them, and you know, exploring what does it actually mean for me to be a man, right? Like, how do I define what being a man means for me? And the question, like, we're not concerned with what it means, like how you define yourself as a man. Like, we don't, I mean, we care, but we're not concerned with how you describe it. What we're concerned with is the definition of how you define yourself as a man or masculinity, is that working for you? And if it's not, or there's some gaps, that's the opportunity.
So this would be in person in Utah this June.
So it's 4 days, four nights in person in Utah. It's you know, we typically have run a few workshops a day. We have a fire circle every night that we walk the guys through some opportunities. You know, it's very, you know, it's really ground, like it's really based in creating community, creating brotherhood, creating connection, you know, exploring questions that we typically aren't asked or need to ask in our daily lives, and ultimately getting connected to who we are and what we want. Like the house that we have for Utah, it's like 10,000 square feet in the middle of the woods. Like,
Oh,
it's
nice.
a jacuzzi, sauna. We're gonna bring a cold tub plunge for guys who want to partake in that. We have a
Nice.
chef that's flies out from New York. It's five-star gourmet meals. Like, it's, you will be well taken care of, and you're gonna walk away with, you know, some value. Like, our highest commitment is that you walk away from that experience the man that you always knew you were or knew you could be. And you know, it's so much of it is for the folks who attend, but that man's impact has a ripple. So how he comes home to his partner or his children or his career, his leadership, his business is going to be fundamentally transformed, and ideally in a very positive way. You know, that's what our commitment is. And like, post retreat too, man, is, you know, we have, it's been so cool just to watch the friendships and the connections that get created after an experience like this. You know, and it's for any man wherever you're at, and regardless of, you know, what you're up to. You know, like, our main focus is that it's, you know, it's a human experience, right? So wherever you're at, there's no right or wrong. And you get to come and be challenged to grow, to learn, to disconnect for a few days, right? Just give yourself permission to breathe.
Permission to breathe. I love that. You know, and speaking as someone who's not shy about, exploring these type of retreats and offerings, there are so many that are, for women, or often I would wind up being like the token guy there, So people I think are sometimes surprised why I would want to make sure to advocate for spaces that are actually also for men. But it's actually because I've seen so many examples to that are for women that I think are beneficial. There's no reason why guys cannot also be with each other and learn to understand ourselves and masculinity and what it means to be a man in modern society and all of that. So, thank you for offering stuff like this.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a ton of fun. We love it. You know, it's like a ton of fun. And you know, our whole business is based around these events. And we had a retreat in Idaho, and I remember when I was at the we were, you know, picking up a car, and the woman at the desk asked what we were doing in Idaho. She's like, "Why are you?" You know, it was like some regional airport. We took like a puddle jumper into. It was like in the middle of freaking nowhere. And I was like, "Oh, we're here to do a men's retreat." And she's like, "A what?" I'm like, "A men's retreat." She's like, "What is that?" Like, had no idea that things like this exist. you know, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
If it's, she's not the only one, I'm sure. You know, I think it speaks to too is that men need community, particularly with other men, to like thrive. And we've gotten so far away from that through our self-sufficient and like culture. But, you know, there used to be like this male initiation or this male rite of passage that would happen from knowing that, hey, I'm a boy and now I'm a man, mm-hmm. right? Like there was this natural progression into being an adult man. And like, while that kind of happens, there's no clear experience of when it does, you know? So I'm not saying that this is like a male initiation, but this is like one of those moments that you're going to remember for the rest of your life, you know? And we're going to challenge you on who you say you are as a man. And you're going to learn a lot about yourself, but you know, again, this is going to be one of those moments where you're like, this is when my life changed. You know, this is when I knew, or this is when I got clear. This is when I took responsibility. Like it's going to be one of those moments.
Yeah. Well, and I hear in that sort of, it can be a rite of passage or an opportunity that's for you. When you talk about the rite of passage from boy into manhood, some of it can be forced upon you and some of it can be straight up traumatic. So
sure.
It's, we can also find a way to understand ourselves that, you know, doesn't just honor those components, which sometimes that's what we're faced with and whatever. Like, I think I saw somewhere that you used to be a bouncer. Okay. Well, there are certain expectations that come with being a bouncer and such.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there can also be a space where you can, like you said, breathe, ground yourself, and still find connection and understanding and a way to empower all of your relationships. Thank you for that. In addition, I know you also do some work where you offer coaching for couples. And I believe that's also done in conjunction with your partner as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, it's all in the realm of goals, right? It's all in the realm of possibility of creating the experience you actually want, whether it's your life, your relationship, your career. But like after I met my wife and we were together for a couple of years and she got like a little awareness about what I got to do in the world as a coach, she's like, I want to do this too. And she went and got trained. And when she was finishing her training, like I was like, we should do something around relationships for couples, you know, and we've done some stuff for singles too. And, you know, it's one of those areas in life where I don't want to say we don't put a lot of focus on or as much focus as we could. Like, you know, when we think about, you know, like end of the year, right? Or starting of the new year, like we all have new goals or goals. Like it's just a time where people focus on goals and we have goals around career. We have goals around health. We have goals around money. But how many of us actually create goals around our relationship? You know, and like we have goals in so many areas of life, but we're not actually intentionally creating a relationship, which setting a goal will have us do. You know, so there's that component. Like, what's the future we're creating here? Like, why does our relationship exist? Why are we actually together? And then we start to look at, you know, what do we actually need, right? What do we actually need as individuals in a relationship? And then what does the actual relationship need? So we have, you know, conversations and tools around understanding what our fundamental needs are. You know, what are our triggers? What are the things that really take us out of relationship with ourselves and with each other? How do we communicate with each other? So we give a lot of tools to help support folks to like navigate existence with another human being, which like there's no school for that right now, like, which is, I think, what we would really benefit from. So yeah, my wife, we have a group program that we run. We also work with folks, you know, couple to couple. And then we also have a digital course, that we provide as well. And it's been fun, you know, it's been challenging for my wife and I's own relationship to like, not only be, you know, husband, wife, friends, partners, lovers, you know, now we're business owners together, you know, now we're co-parenting for the last 3 years with our son. So it's like, it's challenged us in many ways, but it's also been like one of the coolest playgrounds for us to like figure out tools and figure out ways to help other people. And like, you know, we've individually, I've been through so much in my personal life. And then with us together, we've been through so much in our relationship that, you know, provides a good, like rich experience to be able to draw from.
Yeah. How has being parenting influenced your perspective overall. And in fact, you know, before you answer, I did witness you, I think it was on Facebook, when you were sharing to your community and to people who were supporting you, how you were had to stand outside the parking lot to support your wife and your unborn child during the height of COVID and all of that. And I just thought it was so vulnerable again, but so like for me, and maybe some other guys would disagree, but I was like, that is being a man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how has parenting influenced you?
I mean, it's everything I thought I knew, like went out the window, like about myself. And I mean, being a parent, co-parenting with my wife, like becoming a father, it's been one of the most rewarding and challenging things I've ever done in my life. And I've done a lot of really challenging things in my life. I've gone through a lot. And, you know, the experience is, it's almost like you got to get your shit together. Like you have this other little person that's like looking up to you and learning everything about life from you. And, you know, there's things that like my son has, like, just in like him living his life and who he's being and him just being a 3-year-old, like he has been such a mirror for me into looking into like where my continued work is, like, you know, understanding, you know, when he's frustrated or upset, like what that triggers in me, you know, and like he would, you know, he'd have like a temper tantrum because that's like how toddlers are. Right. And like, it would create so much like frustration and anger in me. And, you know, here I am supposed to be this, like, you know, enlightened person and like doing this work and like this 3-year-old's like taking me out, you know, but like, it's been such a good, he's been such a huge catalyst for my continued growth and my continued healing and development, like not only as a man and a husband and a father, but like as a human being, you know. And he's like my greatest teacher, you know, he's my greatest teacher. And yeah, I used to like think I knew what it was like to become a parent. And, you know, like one of my good buddies, like he became a dad like 10 years ago, and like he was like struggling. I'm like, can't be that hard, you know. We're like, you're over exaggerating, or you just don't have the right tools. And no, man, like there's no playbook for this. Like, you think, you know, once you think you know something, it changes. You know, once you think you've got something handled, it changes. And someone who thrives in routine and structure and like understanding like your place, none of that exists in parenting. You know, like my son, like the last 2 days he woke up, was like a delight, in the best mood ever, was doing awesome. Had fun mornings, and like this morning he was just like a disaster for no reason. You know, nothing changed,
right?
You know,
right.
But he's like, you know, screaming like and crying for like 40 minutes straight, and it's like, you know, it takes a toll on you right when you wake up, you know. So becoming a parent has been the best, the hardest, the most rewarding, and the most challenging thing I've ever done.
Well, talk about having to be present, right? When you say, you know, as someone who likes to kind of know what's going to happen or have a plan,
yeah,
and then this is all about what is happening right now, is a little bit of that, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. So a final question that I have for you, just because I think you probably would attract this, but let's say somebody is kind of seeing the way you show up in the world, what you care about and your work, and they're like, man, I want to be of service. I want to do something like what Bob does. And for people in men interested in coaching or personal development, what's your advice for people who kind of just is interested in doing something similar to what you do?
Yeah, there's a saying like in recovery. So like, you know, part of the recovery community, they call them sponsors. They're people that, what they say is like, find someone who has what you want and go talk to them and ask them to sponsor you. Right. And it's one of the most vulnerable, hardest things to do, especially like in early recovery, is like to go ask this person to like show you the way.
Right.
And I think it's very much, that very much translates to what I do now. Like if you see people out there doing what you want to do or are going to, you know, things you want to go to, go talk to them, you know, and that, you know, that opens up a lot of things for people, right? Because it's going to require you to like take action, going to require you to be vulnerable, going to require you to like maybe reach out to a stranger, like who knows. But you know, it's go find the people that have what you want and go build a relationship with them, you know. And that's like the biggest thing. And it's, you know, I love that saying, is that you're the average of the, you know, five people you hang around with most. Like, start to look around the people you're hanging out with. Yeah, like, are those the people that are going to get you where you want to go? You know, they're like, start to take a look, take it on this inventory. And if they're not, find out where you want to go, which you might need a coach to help you. But find out where you want to go and like where those people are, and start showing up there. Whether that's actually, you know, literally or figuratively, start showing up in those places.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. And if people are interested in connecting with you, what might be the easiest way to check out some of your offerings, or to just, you know, be able to connect with you directly?
Yeah, best way is probably go onto my website, which is conlincoaching.com, Conlin coaching. I'm all over the socials too. So if you, I always say, if you want to find me, if you're committed to finding me, you'll find me like easily. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today, Bob. This is such a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. It's good to connect.
Thank you for tuning in. Listeners are welcome to connect with me over Instagram and LinkedIn. You just have to search my name, and I love to hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about my work as a coach and artist, please visit www.robertkwanghome.com.